You see, I've been mistreated. Someone's done me wrong. My self-esteem is so low. My very existence is all but gone.
We get the hour underway, though, by welcoming back to the program an actor, playwright, singer, songwriter, Emmy Award winner, Tony and Golden Globe nominee, Jeff Daniels joins us. Jeff, third time on the show, which means either we'll pay for you to get the show logo tattooed or we'll teach you the secret handshake.
I think the handshake's out right now, so
yeah.
I'll take the other one.
Okay, well, that works for us. How are you handling things during this interesting time in America?
Well, it's where I'm living here in Michigan, and I got my two boys beside me. They live on either side. Kind of a poor man's Kennedy compound. We live on a lake, so we're all kind of quarantined together. There's a grandchild. There's another one coming. And there's about 3 acres or so, and we have designed an 18-hole par 3 golf course. One club, 7-iron, have at it. And it's fun. It's keeping us sane.
There you go. Well, what is also helping out is that what you're doing Monday nights, you've done it the last two Mondays and the next two, online and unplugged, a performance from your home studio to benefit the Purple Rose Theater Company. We've seen the first two. Absolutely wonderful.
Oh, it's nice of you. It's interesting because, we'll go again Monday night, and it's kind of like doing a movie. It's not being on stage. You're not on stage and, in a club, 200 people or something. It's just one person behind the camera, and that's the trick. And so you find yourself as an actor kind of going, oh, I know how to do this. Yeah, I know how to do this. And there's a way to kind of, we can figure out how to pull you in and make this live stream experience as a complement to live performances and venues, I think it'll be a good thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens on the other end of this, whether some of this live streaming is acceptable. We put a lot of production value into it and stuff. I'm not singing into the laptop. So it's just me and my two boys kind of, winging it every Monday night. It's been fun.
Absolutely. I love the song about your grandfather's hat. Is that a new song?
That's been around. I've got a bunch of CDs. We, throw them up on the internet, see who bites. But that's when I started doing. That's probably early, like 2002 or 2003. I wrote that. Yeah, it's really for my dad, but it's my grandfather's the one I remembered wearing a hat like that. And but a lot of that stuff's in there is about my dad.
We enjoyed the shout-out to a son of Maine, Joshua Chamberlain, the other night as well.
Yeah, I referenced that. That's one of the great roles for me. I will never forget what I learned about Chamberlain. He really was one of the great unsung American heroes. And it was a pleasure to play him, and I'll never forget the speech on the Hill to those Mainers to get them to come along with us. I think it was, there were a lot of people. That's what it was. There were like 300 guys on a hill, and I had yet to kind of do Chamberlain in front of them. And a lot of those guys were from Maine, and some of them had been Chamberlain in their own reenactments and things like that. And they, they were the scholars, so they really were the critics, and I had to walk out and beat them, and I did. I did great, and I'd worked hard on that speech, and from that day on, it was like, man, they'd have done anything for us. It was great. It was great.
My wife went to a Dickinson University out in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and she went to Gettysburg when she was out there for a college reunion. Picked me up a T-shirt that I still wear that's got Chamberlain's likeness, but one of your most often said lines from the film, "Don't call me Lawrence."
Yes. Yeah, I think that was a gift shop favorite. Yeah.
How much do you miss baseball, Jeff?
I miss it. It was on every night, and I'm a Detroit Tiger fan, so even when we're going through a huge rebuild, you want to follow up on the team here, the AAA, even the AA. I just did a film, and one of the other actors was Michael Kelly, who was in House of Cards, and he's in the Jack Ryan series. And he's a huge Braves fan, and he got me into these apps that make you follow the AA team and the AAA team, and so that you're by the team. He goes, "You guys we're where you were 3 years ago. I mean, we're now 3 years down the road, and it's to see those kids grow up." So that I miss that. I miss the drama of it. I miss, you know, 3-2 count, 2 outs, bases loaded. Does he hit it or not? Drama. I miss that.
You lost your boyhood hero recently, and yeah, for all of us who grew up, for me it was Carly Yastrzemski, for you, Al Kaline, and what a beautiful song you've written about him, and it's just, it was wonderful to watch that.
Well, thank you. I wrote it for me. He passed away, and he was the childhood hero, and I had gone downstairs and rummaged around and found the bat that I had got on Tiger Bat Day, Detroit Tiger Bat Day, back in 1964 or something. And it was an Al Kaline bat. They'd had Norm Cash, they had, you know, whomever, Jake Wood, they had whomever they had, but it was, I got a Kaline bat. And that triggered the song. Now it's the story of a kid who got the bat, and now that he's passed away, what did your childhood hero mean to you? Did he live up to it? Did you learn anything from him? Did you take anything from him? And so it was a little bit of a kind of a musical examination on that, told through the story of this bat. And I sent it to a friend of mine here in Detroit who plays and writes, and he's an anchor guy, anchor man, Devin Skillion. And he said, "Can I put it on my Sunday morning news show?" There, he does like a flashpoint before Meet the Press. And I said, "Sure." And they put Kaline video over it, and then locally everybody just got excited about it. And then Cooperstown called Devin and said, "Can we track Jeff down? We want the original lyrics." And then, you know, I just took a knee and wept openly.
I think anybody, any kid that grew up a baseball fan, when if something of yours ends up in Cooperstown, I think that's probably an appropriate reaction.
I still don't know how to react. I don't know what to make of it. I think they're going to send me a receipt. I FedExed the lyrics to them. You know, they've got them. They're going to send back. I got to sign a form that means they can have them forever and all that. But so I'm waiting for that. That's the suitable for framing thing for me. Yeah.
The song also is a lot about how baseball is sort of a father-son bonding event. I know it was with me and my dad too. He was a Cleveland Indians fan in New England for some reason, but him talking about listening to those games and keeping track of the box scores and all of that is something that I it's a great childhood memory of mine as well. Baseball does that. It bonds father and son, father and daughter together.
It really can. It's that thing they can do even when they don't understand each other. I had a great father experience, but not everybody does. But it's that thing where maybe if I took him to a game, we'd talk about baseball and not talk about the length of his hair or how come he doesn't like me. Whatever it might have been, you're right. It can be a connection. You can connect through baseball, so you got something to talk about. And then when your team does well, you know, like the Tigers did back in '68. It's you and your dad and that team that you both share. It's a real great bonding thing. I agree.
We're talking with Jeff Daniels here on Downtown. Have to ask the story that you told the other night about leaving your wife behind at the gas station. You said it was true. Honest? You promise it's true?
It is true. It's absolutely true. Slightly embellished laugh, but no, it's it happened. It happened. I'm not proud of it. I'm driving down the highway, and my son taps me on the shoulder and said, "Dad, where's Mom?" And it's just like, you left her at a truck stop. You're driving a recreational vehicle that you don't know how to drive, and you just left your wife at a truck stop. Have a good day.
Do you miss packing up the family? Because this would be around the time you'd be in most years headed out to play music with your sons.
We have done that. We enjoy doing that. I must say I'm enjoying these virtual gigs a lot more because I can walk out to the recording studio and come right to your venue. And we're looking at that. That eliminates a lot of, you know, drive time. But I like going to the Northwest. There's such great audiences up there for songwriting and acoustic music. So I miss coming up near Maine and up in that area. That's probably where we'd go if we ever went back up.
Well, the last time you were here, we had a chance to go backstage and chat with you and meet the dogs and everybody else. And I remember you telling us it was right before a couple of months away from kicking off To Kill a Mockingbird. And you told us if we can get past the critics, if we can survive that,
Yeah. This
thing is going to play forever on Broadway. And wow, you couldn't have been more right. It's become a classic of the American theater.
Yeah, we took a big swing with it. The three main ones were I'm Not Gregory Peck, so you're going to have to get over that. And that, trust me, there were some speed bumps early on where you could just feel them kind of going, I knew it wasn't Gregory Peck. I was told it wasn't Gregory Peck, and now it really isn't. Okay, I'm okay. And you could just feel the audience kind of, okay. And we played him as a small-town lawyer who, you know, just handled, you know, basically land service agreements or what. This isn't what he does. And so he got thrown into it versus where the movie had, you know, Gregory Peck and the camera was looking up at him like he was Mount Rushmore because it was from the viewpoint of an 8-year-old girl. And Aaron Sorkin, who adapted it for Broadway, made it, Scout was, you know, maybe 28, looking back at when she was 8, so she could see her father differently. And so we took that journey, and the critics said yes. That could have been a no. And, you know, we had adults playing the kids. That could have been a slap in the face. I mean, you just don't know. And then we got 5-star reviews, and we were sold out. I was in it for a year, sold out every show, every show. It was amazing. I'll never have experience like it. Role of a lifetime.
We enjoyed hearing you narrate our friend Doris Kearns Goodwin's wonderful series on George Washington.
Yeah, I love Doris. She came to Mockingbird. I had met her previously about something else, and I love her. I could listen to that woman for hours. You know, just drop a topic in front of her and let her go. Yeah.
And what's up with the new series, Rust? Obviously, you haven't been able to start production, but boy, it looks like a great lineup with you, Maura Tierney, Dan Futterman involved. Any status updates?
Yeah, really good actors. Bill Camp's in there. We got some great younger actors that are really solid. It's based on a book by Philip Meyer called American Rust. It was out probably, I think it was 2005. We've taken the spine of that story and spun it around kind of what's going on, you know, in southwestern Pennsylvania where people are, people are struggling and good people are struggling. And it's just a mess. And the drama is really complicated. We're looking forward to doing it. We were down there in Pittsburgh getting ready to shoot, and they said, we're shutting down. Go home. So we all turned around and came home.
Monday night and the next two Monday nights, so you can go to the Purple Rose YouTube page to see it live and unplugged. Jeff doing a concert right there in your home from his home. Check it out. I can't wait to see these next two. And we're going to post a link as well on our website. So if people want to help the theater directly, it'll be pretty easy for them to do that. And I don't know. It's still hard to hear the angels sing, isn't it, Jeff?
It is. It is. It's on the list of ones that might get in there eventually. Yeah. It's very hard to hear him sing right now.
It sure is. Well, Jeff, we appreciate you making time for us. As always, we wish you continued good health and success. Stay safe out there, and good luck with that 7-iron as well.
Thank you, sir. See ya.
All right. That's Jeff Daniels with us on Downtown.